Jesus. I greet you from now, the lovely city of Austin, Texas, in the United States of America. And I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, Jesus Christ indeed is Lord. Lord over all, Lord above all, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yes, and grab your Bibles. We're going to go straight to the Word today. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. For it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when ye have done all these things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Okay. Praise God for the reading of His Word. You know, there's a stance and an attitude and a way that a follower of Christ approaches life, that approaches their human experience during the time that they're here in this world. And now, as a child of light, as one who follows Christ, as one who's redeemed, as one who has life and truth coursing through your body, through your physical being, your mental being, your spiritual being, connected to the source, as one that follows Christ, the way that we live our lives and the way that we respond to the things going on around us is very different than the way the world does things. See, it's important to understand that we live differently, we think differently, we react differently, we process differently whatever it is that we go through and experience in this life. Because here's the thing, there are common experiences to people while they're here in this world. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust. It falls on the righteous and the wicked, the same rain. The same sun shines and it lands on the righteous and the unrighteous. It lands on the follower of Christ and the servant of the devil. The same sun shines. So there are experiences that we have in this life that are shared experiences, but the way that we go through is going to be different than the way that the world goes through. Life and death is common to every person while they're here. You know, every person enters into this world. Not a soul came into this world that stays in this world. Everybody comes through, passes through, and goes on into the next life. So we go on from here, which incidentally, if you just stop and think about that for a little bit, a lot of things that are seemingly priorities to people really are pretty stupid if you consider the fact that we're actually going through this life and we don't stay here. but You know, we're all transitioning through this life and through this world. We're all here for a window of time. There were people that were here when we got here that aren't here anymore. And in time to come, we won't be here, and there'll be others that have come on the scene since we've been here that'll be here after us. So we are all in a process. We're all in a season. Thank God when you're young and you understand that, because you have a chance then to, and you're making the most of your window of life while you're here. It's kind of a sad thing when people sort of understand that maybe when they're much closer to exiting this life in this world. But hey, but in the process of understanding, in the process of things being revealed and made known, for the follower of Christ, and you and I are followers of Christ Jesus, we are those that listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, those that receive from the very throne of God the Word of God that gives us life and truth. We also know that how we live is going to be different than the way the world lives. How we think is going to be different. So here in Luke chapter 17, these are some examples of what we, how we go through life and our experience here. So for example, it is impossible but that offenses will come. So there's going to be things that come up, and it's, if those in this reality, see here, we talked about in the last audio when we discussed how, you know, the flesh that we're in, you know, is messed up from the fall, you know, is coded a particular way, and that mind that's in you, that chattering mind that was also part of the fall as well, those two, and if you haven't listened to that audio, you should check that one out. It's called Knowing as We Ought. It's a G-talk. You got to listen to that one. But you know, with, so help get the context here, but those are things that are with us through this life. And now you plug that into then the much larger human experience with 7 billion people walking around on this planet. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. For it were, you know, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, this is God talking. All right? This is not some talking head on the television. This is not some politician standing up giving his political point of view for the day to whatever he thinks will appeal to the most number of people to be able to keep him in power for the next window of time. This is God. This is the one that when this life is over, your life will, and your eternal destiny will rest in his hands. And he says, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. And he ca-, so he's saying, look, you would be better off. Now, these millstones that they would use in those days, these were massive things. This is not a tiny rock. Basically, he's saying, it would be better if that thing is hung around your neck and you're tossed into the sea. That's not a nice picture. Then that he should offend one of these little ones. He says, "You, it's better for you if that would happen to you than what's going to end up happening to you if you offend one of these little ones. If you, for example, for the pedophile, for the child trafficker, for the person that does evil things out of an evil heart and the manifestation of the offenses that come through that person, you are in for an eternal world of hurt." And this according to the voice of God himself. Now, you have free will while you're here. You can make a decision, you can make a choice, but no politician is going to be able to get you out of this. No deal is going to be able to get you out of this. You can't buy your way out of this. You will give an account of your life and of everything that you've ever done to the one that made you, to the one that created you, to the one that gave you life and breath while you're here. Nothing. No one gets away with anything. No one can dodge the hand of God. That's it. Therefore, knowing that, repent, get right with him, course correct, point yourself in the realm of the Spirit towards the Father and ask Him. If you've messed up, ask Him for forgiveness. Plead before Him and ask Him to quicken you and move in the direction that He wants you to go. And that's how that kind of leads into verse 3. It says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day turn again unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So, here's the thing. For us, now, here's the thing. The world will never forgive you. Okay? The world will never forgive you. This is, again, part of how we are different than the world. Your very existence, the world hates you for that. The world hates you for the very fact that you exist. The world hates you for the very fact that you have life in you, that you have dared to follow Christ, that you have dared to align yourself with truth, that you have dared to turn your back on the world and the collective system that they are part of, and that you have actually said, God, I trust you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to let you lead and guide me out and through the minefield of this life. And the fact that you have done that, they will never, ever, ever forgive you for that. Even if you turn around and go back to them and try to become a slave to that thing again, they will never, ever, ever forgive you for that. They won't forgive you for breathing. The world hates all those that are its own, and the only time that you have any value in that system is to the extent that you rob, steal, kill, and destroy your fellow man. Because that's what Lucifer does. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the extent to which you are part of that system and that you do that which is an abomination unto God, they will push you up in the ranks. And there'll always be somebody above you that's lording over you. There'll always be people below you that you can lord over and that you can do damage to. But it's a mess. Now, in that process, though, for the follower of Christ, who's come out from among them, but we still live here in this life, the wheat and the tares grow together, light and dark coexist within this plane of reality, which is an incredible thing in and of itself. If, take heed of yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, and there's going to be many times that things are going to come up, and your brothers will trespass against thee, they will make mistakes, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. You know, sometimes you got to tell people they were wrong. Sometimes you got to speak up and you got to speak the truth. You got to let people know. You know what? Listen, Jesus was not seeker friendly. He came into this world and he came as a light into this world. He said, "Do you think I came to bring?" He said, "I came to bring a sword." He's the Prince of Peace, and yet he brings a sword. He's the Prince of Peace, and yet he causes division. How does that work? Because unless you want truth, you're not going to find peace. And it divides because some people don't want the truth. Some people want the lie. And that's a state and a condition of their heart. It's in the core of who they are. So you're not going to be able to do it for somebody else. But you can't help a drowning man if you're drowning yourself. You're going to have to make a decision and make a choice and go with truth. Let the dead bury the dead. But as long as you stay in there and you try to save a drowning man, you're going to drown too. You know, I used to be a lifeguard, a number of years back at a pool. And, you know, you have to go through training and you have to go through certification and all those things before you can actually become a lifeguard. And one thing that they, part of the training that they show you and they teach you is that you cannot, if you try to approach somebody that's drowned, now when somebody's drowning, they're panicking. When they're panicking, they're not thinking clearly. Everything that's happening with them is a very base, almost animal response, just to try to get one more breath of air. And so, if you approach, so you're a lifeguard or what, and you're approaching that person, if you approach them from the front, and they're not thinking straight, so what they will do is they will because they can't grab hold of anything, they'll grab hold of you. And they will push you under, they will try to claw on top of you, they will do all kinds of things in the process of just trying to get one more breath of air. And they will, if you stay in that position, they will drown you too. They will wear you out and they'll drown you if you don't approach that person with some wisdom, with some knowledge, with some understanding. The way that you approach a drowning person is you have to approach them, you have to swim behind that person, and you need to approach them from the back, and then you pull them up onto the rescue tube from the back, so that you're able to bring them back so that they don't see it. And then once they're up and they're on a rescue tube, they can stop for a second, they realize they're not sinking still, and then you can talk to them and you can calm them down. But you cannot help a drowning person if you are drowning yourself. So, you know, in the world that we live in, you're surrounded by drowning people. You're surrounded by people that are dying. They're struggling for another breath of life because they have no life in them because they've gone the wrong way. And many times they want to get their next breath off of you. And they will put you under, they will kill you if that means they can breathe for one more second. Now, you need to have some wisdom in how you live your life. And what will end up happening is if you don't apply some knowledge and some wisdom, you're going to drown and die, and they're going to drown too. And nobody's helped in that situation. So, you know, part of it is you don't have to be a nice guy sometimes, all right? Sometimes you have to rebuke. Sometimes you have to chase it. Sometimes you have to say that which needs to be said. Sometimes you have to do that which nobody wants to do in order for life and truth to go forward. Sometimes Jesus had to clear the temple because they'd turn it into a marketplace. Sometimes he had to call people out from where they were coming from. And he had to expose the wickedness and the motivations of their hearts. And they didn't like him for it. They wanted to kill him. Sometimes people walked away sad because they didn't want to line up with the truth, like the rich young ruler. Sometimes they wanted to kill him. And other times they repented and they lined up and they followed God. But whatever way it was, light and truth divides. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, divides. It causes people to make a decision. It causes people to make a choice. And you choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You choose which way you're going to go. Now, the consequences are a result of your choices, but you can only choose. You can't choose the consequences. Okay, so in this process, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. So when people, when they hear, and if somebody loves truth, they'll hear the truth. They'll receive the truth. When they hear it, something in them says, you know what, that's it. That's right. It resonates within. This is on a spiritual level. And when they do, for those that have a heart for truth, they repent. They turn. They course correct. And when they do that, our response as a follower of Christ is to forgive. Our response as a follower of Christ is to let go. And you know what? If they mess up seven times in a day, and seven times in a day they turn again and say, you know, I repent. You know, and they're trying, they want to go on that path. Thou shalt forgive him. You will forgive him. That's what Jesus said. Now, how do you forgive when people hurt you? How do you forgive when people transgress against you? And see, first thing, Jesus gave this command because the human action is to do exactly the opposite. The human action is to not forgive. The world system reaction is to not forgive. And, you know, and to hold it against people. And Jesus said, thou shalt forgive him. But here's the thing, in your flesh and in your human mind, that soulish mind, which we talked about in the last audio, the response is to not forgive. The response is to play that thing over and over and over again in your head of what somebody's done to you. Now, how do you forgive? All right. part of the way that you forgive is it is by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God that you can forgive, that you can release, that you can let go. Because He enables you to do what you cannot do in your flesh, what you cannot do in your natural mind. He enables you to do what you can't do in yourself. And so the first thing is you got to bring that to God in prayer. You have to take that which was part of your experience and bring it before the Father. And when you bring it before the Father, you say, Lord Jesus, you have said, thou shalt forgive him. You've told me to forgive. In my flesh and in my mind, I am struggling with this, but I know it is your will that I do this. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help and equip me to do what I have struggling with in my flesh and in my mind. I pray that you would enable me to forgive and to do what your word tells me to do. When you do that, you are now opening yourself up for the kingdom of God and for the will of God to happen in your life. And it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by His Spirit, says the Lord. It is by Him doing a work in you that you are able to line yourself up with His word. Not in yourself, not of your best efforts, not according to a 12-step program, but a work of His Spirit in you, where inside yourself you realize too, look, I need to repent because I am not lining myself up with the word of God. I am transgressing against the word of God by not forgiving. Now here's the thing. When we forgive, we are releasing and we are putting something in the hands of God. Does that mean that things have not happened? Of course those things happened. Does that mean that there's not consequences for those things? Of course there are consequences for those things. For example, you can take somebody that, you know, that committed a crime and, you know, that person will have committed a crime and they will be forgiven. You can forgive that person, but there may still be natural repercussions for what that person did. If they killed somebody, the law of the land may come into effect, and that person may still have to deal with the consequences of that action, even though in the realm of the spirit you've released them and let them go. Such is the case, you know, for many people. I mean, when Paul, who was first Saul, he killed a bunch of the early Christians. And later on, when he went to God reached him, and excuse me, God reached him with the truth, opened his eyes to see what was real, and he had to repent. He repented before God, and when he went to the early church, they were a bit concerned. Because, hey, this is the guy that used to attack us, used to kill us. But, you know, and they were, you know, mindful that it might be a trap and all that. But the Spirit of God worked in them. Spirit of God worked in Paul. And here's one thing, too. The person that may be your enemy today, tomorrow may become your friend. Because it's the work of the Spirit of God in a person. And that's why you got to leave the room for God to do something in that person. But if somebody's on the way of darkness, if somebody's a servant of the devil, you got to be mindful of how close that person gets in your life, because they're going another way. And they're going to hurt and harm the path that you're on. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Amos 3:3. You got to be on the right path. And if somebody's going to be close, they need to be on the right path too. And if they're not, you need to part company, because there's something bigger going on than your life. It's about Him. And it's about your volition, your intention, your heart being pointed towards the Father and carrying on in that decision and that direction every moment of every day. The angels of heaven consistently have their faces pointed towards the Father. They behold His glory at all times. So for them, that's where they want to be. That's where they long to be. That's the joy of their existence. And for us too, in the realm of the Spirit, that's the joy of our existence, is to constantly be pointed towards the Father, to receive His life and the flow of life that comes from Him into us. So what happens when you don't forgive, for example? You're turning your intention and your volition towards something else. You are allowing those things to become shackles on your own feet. Now, listen, the Word of God explains itself. Keep Luke 17 for now. And let's go back a little bit to, I need to mark this really quick. Let's go back to Matthew. Okay, Matthew chapter 18. I want to give you another passage along these same lines. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, and says, I want to go back a little bit more. All right, let's start at verse 15. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Yeah, right there. How many of you guys broadcast somebody's mistake to everybody but the person that actually did something against you? Just a thought. Okay, well, first go talk to him alone. "And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that they had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay him the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Let me read that last verse again. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Okay, so God is going to do that to you if you don't from your heart forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Otherwise, you know, you can also say, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow unforgiveness, you're going to feel unforgiveness. Now, an interesting part with this one too, and this is something I want to bring to your consideration and to your attention. Verse 19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as is touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. For my Father... Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here's something too. You know, you can bind yourself in the heavens as well as on the earth. Oh, you've never ever heard it like that before, have you? No, you haven't. You've never ever heard it like that ever in your life. Ever in the history of your life and all your study, you've never ever heard it said, you can bind yourself on earth as you bind yourself in heaven. You can bind up your own life. You can bind up your own existence. You can bind up your own mind. You can bind up your entire reality in this life based on how you respond to all that is taking place in your time here in the earth. Now listen, the scriptures are multidimensional. They're a living, breathing document. There is so much richness in the Word of God, okay? There's so much there. So I'm just, you know, bringing out another spice from the storehouse of God. You can bind yourself in your, you can bind yourself in your earthly reality, even as you bind yourself in your eternal one, because of your will, your response, your choice, your decision. When you look at the context of this whole thing too, when it says that, you know, here it is, the debt that we, that the servant had to pay was far beyond anything that he could ever pay. And so much so that the impact of the mistakes that he had made will carry down to his wife, to his children, to everything that he had. Do you know that there are decisions that you make that don't just affect you? You make a decision and you make a choice, and the impacts resonate over to your wife, your children, your family, to everything. Do you know that the choices and the decisions that you make don't just affect you? That you are part of a body? You are part of the body of Christ, and therefore when you make a choice and decision, that if one joint supplies the need of another, when one part hurts, the whole body hurts. So when we make decision and choice, there's impact to far more than just us. You've been grafted in. So, in this situation, the servant bows before the Lord and he says, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee. He's like, you know I messed up and I know I can't do this, but have patience with me, I'll pay thee. He's just trying to buy time. But the king, knowing that he can't do it, knowing that no one can ever pay the debt of sin, no one can ever pay for their mistakes. That's why Jesus had to come. He had to pay for that which we could never pay for. He had to make a way where we could never make our own way. And in that process, God, knowing that we couldn't, he did. Now, in that context and with that understanding, he then goes out, having been set free by the will of the Lord, by the will of the King, and he goes out and he finds somebody else that owes him. And he lays his hands on him, takes him by the throat, and says, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant falls down at his feet and besought him, saying, with the exact same words that he used with God, that he used with the Lord, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Those are the exact same words. The exact same words that are in verse 26 are in verse 29. Only, what is his response? And here's the thing. What this guy owed him is far less than what he owed the Lord. What this guy had done against him is far less than what he had done against God. What this guy had done against him was something that he could afford to let go of. Especially because his huge debt was just wiped out and was just released and was just let go. And yet, he refuses to let go. His response, it says, and he would not. He set his will to not release, to not forgive, to not let go. Though he had been forgiven much, he forgave little. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. See, he went and did the worst possible thing he could do to him. Everything within his power he unleashed on this man. Though he was forgiven much, he turned around and didn't learn anything from that. Didn't learn mercy, didn't learn any forgiveness, had zero desire to learn from the example of his Lord. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. They brought it before the Lord. And the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You asked me, and I forgave you. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't you have learned something from me? Shouldn't you have responded and used that which I gave you a new lease on life? Shouldn't you have taken that lease on life and in the smallest way had compassion on somebody else?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now here's something that I want to bring to your attention. When you don't forgive, you are turned over to tormentors. Here's the thing. When you don't forgive and you hold on to that, and you hold on to that which somebody owes you, that which somebody did against you, that pain that somebody else caused you, and you hold on to that, and you bottle that up, and you cram that down inside, and you hold on to it, and you know what, they're going to get theirs, and if I ever get the chance, I'm just going to get them, and I'm going to just get them, and they're just going to, you know, and you hold on to that. You know who hurts the most? You do. You know who suffers the most? You do. Do you know who is tormented every day by that? You are. Do you know the one that gets sick from that? It's you. Do you know the one that gets diseased from that? It's you. Do you know the one that is from that point forward? Do you know the one that suffers the most? It's you. You hold on to it, you cram it down deep inside, and you're the one that suffers. You're the one that feels the pain. You're the one that struggles with that every day of your life. And though God has set the example for you and given you His Spirit by which you can release and let go, and yet you choose not to, you know what? The one that suffers is you. The one that feels the pain is you. You know, when somebody holds unforgiveness, you can see it in their face. You can see that anger in their face. You can see that pain in their face, and they hold it. And the longer that they brew on that, the longer they simmer on that, it just twists them inside. And they're a tormented, tortured person. There's no joy in that person's life. There's no joy. There's just torment every day, all the time, as those things play out in their head over and over and over again. And that voice just continues to chatter away and just eats a hole in their soul every day. Would you like to be free from that? Would you like to experience life and life more abundantly, which Jesus came that you might have? Well, good news. That's available. Good news. There's a way out. Good news. You don't have to hold that anymore. Because you've been granted a lease, a new lease on life. You've been granted an abundance that you didn't have before. That you can, out of the overflow and the abundance that God has given you, you can forgive, you can release, you can let go. Listen, God is I am. It means right now, in this moment right now, what problem do you have? In this very moment, I'm not talking 10 minutes from now, and I'm not talking an hour ago. Right now, in this moment, what problem do you have? What issue do you have? Nothing. Whatever's happened before, that's in the past. Release it. Let go. Be in the now with Christ Jesus. He is I am. And if you come into this place right now, forgive, release, let go. Point yourself towards the Father. And if there's something that you struggle with, ask Him. Pray. Bring it before Him and say, Lord God, above all, I want to line up with Your Word and Your truth. I want to be free. I don't want to be held by these tormentors anymore. I don't want to be tortured by this anymore. I don't want this to be playing out in my mind anymore. Lord God, do in me what I cannot do. But I am going to set my will towards Your will. Lord, You said in Matthew 6, You taught us how to pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. So Your will says this. Your will is for this to be the way that I relate. Your word says to release and to let go and to forgive. So I choose to, Lord God. Help me to do what I cannot do in my flesh and what I cannot do in my mind. But by Your Spirit, I'll do it. Now here's the thing. Our level and our realm of forgiveness, we release so that nothing in this world has a hold on us. If somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness, forgive them. But you know what? If they carry on and they continue to do all these other things and they are unrepentant, then still, in your heart, hold nothing against that person. But you release them. You release them. Because this is about, in this situation, this is about you walking out an abundant life. And you being released. You don't want to hold that. You don't want to hold that. For what? It's not going to take you anywhere good. And when you don't release, when you don't forgive, so likewise says my Heavenly Father. Verse 34 said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my Father, my Heavenly Father, do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Forgive from your heart every one their trespasses. Let's go back to Luke 17. And verse 5, and it says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you having a... So first, if you just got the smallest, tiniest assurance, just that part of you that trusts God and knows that He will do what He said He will do, you can do incredible things. You don't need big, massive, colossal faith. You just need that tiniest of assurances, but you need to act on it. You need to act on it. Once you have that assurance, you just need to take a step. Even if it's the smallest step in the world, you just need to take a step and move in that direction. Faith mixed with action. Ah, isn't it getting interesting, the name that we have for this website? All right. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the thing which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So, you know, so often the world and everybody in the world, they want all kinds of things. They want all kinds of assurances and all kinds of commendations and everybody to see what they've done and to recognize what they've done. But as a follower of Christ, we hear the message from the head and we do that which the head has for us to do. We don't do it for fanfare. We don't do it to be recognized. We don't do it for any other reason than that it is our duty as a follower of Christ to do. Now, this is our attitude towards it. Our success is in the obedience. It's not in the result. The second that you obey and that you walk with God and that you do what He has for you to do, you've succeeded right there. That is success. Success is not in the result. The results are in God's hands. Your success is in just taking that step and following Him. And just realizing that, listen, when you follow Him in truth and in simplicity, He'll take care of the rest. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows the things that He knows the way that He made you. He put certain things in you because that's His plan and purpose for you. But leave those at His feet and follow Him and watch the way that He, in His good time, in His good pleasure, will fulfill that which is the longings of your heart. But don't make the longings of your heart God. Make and keep and choose for Him to be number one. And to follow Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let that overflow into loving your neighbor as yourself. And out of that, watch what He does. Keep the right attitude. And as you do that, your joy is going to be full. And with that, God bless you guys. Love you. Keep on keeping on. Write us an email. Say hi, faithmix@gmail.com. You can also drop us a note. We have a Facebook page out there too. And, you know, lots of things on the horizon. God is doing incredible work in and through His body and in and through His people. So be on His page. Set your heart towards Him and towards the things of God. And just, you know, you don't got to worry. He's in control. Align yourself with Him and pray His will be done. There's much, much, much for the people of God to be about right now. But you got to listen to the voice of the Spirit. All right. We'll catch up with you sometime soon. God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.